The scripture today deals with how we look at the world. How we view the world creates our world. We have the power to some degree to create the world in which we want to live. And part of that is how we see the world. The story in the gospel is a story about a man born blind. Even the disciples, when Jesus started dealing with this man, said, "Lord, who sinned, this man or his parents?" They had become a part of their culture. They had grown up looking at the world the way their culture looked at the world. They looked at people the way the scribes and the Pharisees looked at people. They were like you and me, growing up in a culture with cultural attitudes, and they looked at things the way they were taught. And that's pretty much true of all of us. Until we realize what power we have in the visions we can create in our mind. And Jesus told them that neither the parents nor the man had sinned. I think Jesus might have gone on, if he wanted to focus on the issue of sin, would have said it has nothing to do with sin. Why get hung up on that kind of thing? Well, they got hung up on it because that is what happened to the people of Israel. People who were called to be the special people of God got so busy being God's people that they created all kinds of laws that you had to go by. All kinds of standards were set up to judge everything in your life. There were hundreds, maybe even thousands of nitpicky rules that you had to follow to be a righteous person. That's what we were looking at this past Wednesday night in our Bible study. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. I mean, they were so ridiculous that if on the Sabbath day you had a ball and you threw it up and caught it in this hand, that was play. If you did it a second time, that was work. If you took that ball and threw it up and caught it in the same hand, that was work and you'd sin. I mean, wouldn't it be fun living with that kind of religion? Woo! Well, Jesus healed this blind man on the Sabbath, and he told the disciples that this man was blind that the work of God might be revealed in him. That God was going to do something wonderful because this blind man existed. And so he took the blind man and brought him close to him. He reached down and he picked up some dirt. He spit into the dirt and mixed it in to mud. And he took two clumps of mud and placed them on the eyes of the blind man. And he says, "Go and wash in the pool of Siloam," which means sent. He sent the blind man to wash the mud off of his eyes. And when the blind man threw the water in his face and washed away the mud, he was able to see the world for the first time in his life. But all the culture could see, all the Pharisees could see, was the sin in it all. The sin of the man or his parents that caused him to be blind in the first place. The sin of Jesus because he dared to break the Sabbath law. First of all, by healing someone on the Sabbath day. You heal no one on the Sabbath day unless they were dying. I mean, if they could make it one more day, you waited an extra day to help them. Or breaking the law, you were a sinner. And because Jesus took that little bit of dirt and his own spit and mixed it in the palm of his hand, in their nitpicky view of religion, he was working. Two counts of breaking the Sabbath. So there must be a trick here. This is a trick. This man wasn't healed. He wasn't really blind. So they brought him in and they questioned him repeatedly. Are you really blind? Were you really blind? Of course I was blind. Well, when did you become blind? I was born blind. They didn't believe it. They didn't buy it because a sinner had supposedly healed him. They dragged in the parents and they tried to find out from them. Was your son born blind? Yes, he was born blind. They got all wrapped up in the sin thing again. Instead of looking at the marvelous miracle of what had been done, all they could see was their little rules, their little way of life. Always he's done it. They couldn't see the miracle of God right before their eyes. And boy, the parents were so scared because the Pharisees had a lot of power in small towns. They didn't want to really answer these people. They didn't want to take them on because you could get in big trouble with this group of people. If they said you were an outcast, you were an outcast. And so they said, well, our son's a grown man. Ask him. So they hauled him in again. And they said, we want you to tell us about this cure you say happened. And he said, why? Already told you. You didn't listen. Why you want to ask me again? Boy, in our world, we really get stuck on things, don't we? We just keep going back to them again and again and again because sometimes we just don't let go until we get what we want to hear. Well, they weren't going to get it that day. Because the second time the blind man went before him, he was even stronger in his face than he was the first time. He might have been a little ticked off that hauled his parents in. And so he just told them, he said, if you believe the word of God, have you ever heard of somebody born blind from birth having their sight restored? So how can this man be such a big sinner if he's doing something that no one else in recorded history has ever done? How can he be a sinner? And then they got a little puffed up and says, well, are you trying to teach us? Yeah, they were so blind they needed a teacher. I don't know if that's where the blind leading the blind went back to this story or what, but, you know, those blind people needed this blind man to lead them, didn't they? But Jesus said it all came about that the works of God might be revealed in him. Now, was Jesus just talking about this one man? I don't think so. As I studied this scripture this week and shared it with my brothers and sisters that gather together as we look at these readings, the thought that came to me is that's how Jesus feels about every one of us. Every one of us is born into the world that the works of God might be revealed in us. There is something wonderful that God wants to reveal to the world through you. Did you know that? Ruth? That we are so special in the sight of God that he's created within each of us at the moment we were conceived a work that he wants to accomplish through you and through me. Have you had the vision to see that wonderful work that God wants to create through you, that his work would be revealed in you? Have you captured that vision? Have you even seen the possibility that God wants to do that in you? See, we become people of our culture, and we forget that we have been called to be people of the cross. To believe in something as incredible as a man who dies and was resurrected from the dead and lives and reigns with God. It goes against the culture. At one time, a long time ago, most of the culture believed that. But our culture doesn't believe that anymore. The people who gather here on Sunday mornings believe that. But do you see the possibilities? Have you captured the vision that God will do His works and will be revealed in you? You see, we can't really get excited about this man Jesus unless we believe that about ourselves, unless we can see that possibility within us. That's what the story of Samuel and David was all about. Poor old Samuel, in the turmoil of his day, lost his vision. First thing God said to him in the story is, quit whining over Saul. You see, his vision was stuck on Saul, and Saul was failing God. And Samuel was failing God because all he could think about was old Saul failing God. His vision was stuck on the wrong man. His vision was stuck on the human and the earthly situation instead of focused on God. And God had to interrupt him in his self-pity and moaning and groaning and whining. Do you ever do that? I do that sometimes. I mean, my family will probably tell you I'm a world champion at that when I get going. But we get so stuck on that, we forget to look at our God, who has the power. And he said, move on, Samuel. I'm going to take care of this. I'm going to lead you to a new king. Go see Jesse and his boys. Now, this wasn't the Jesse James gang. This was the Bible Jesse gang. And these eight brothers who were there in that family. But, you know, Samuel still wasn't sold on things. He was still, his vision was stuck on the world. What if Saul hears about this and kills me? So God said, well, tell him you're going up there to make a sacrifice to me. I mean, come on, can't you come up with a good story? Just go do what I told you to do. Even Samuel, the great one of the last judges, had lost his vision as well. So he goes to the house of Jesse under the disguise of making an offering. They go off to make this offering so it can't get back to Saul, and Saul comes to kill Samuel. And Samuel says, oh man, I spot him. There he is. There's the one God wants. And went through all seven, and God did not accept a one of them. Because God's not looking at the outside. God is looking inside of us. He's looking at our heart. He's looking at our character and integrity. He's looking at the people of character that we are, and He's even looking deeper than that. He's looking to the thing that He placed in us that is special, that He wants to reveal to the world through us. And He didn't see that special thing in any one of those sons. Until the youngest, puniest, although handsome, David came from the fields. And that was the one. Because God saw in David the work that He wanted to reveal to the world in him. That the work of God might be revealed in you. That's why we exist. As individuals, we've got to have a vision for that. We've got to pray to God, show us the work that you want to reveal through us. Talk to God, beg with God, struggle with God, and say, show me the vision of who I am to be. And then when we gather together on a Sunday morning to be the church, we can honestly pray because we've been doing our homework. Now, Lord, show us the vision you would have for us as your people gathered here on this spot, this day, the work that you would reveal to the world through us. as a group. Regardless of age, regardless of size, because some God wants to reveal to the world in each of us. Do you have the eyes to see that? Do you have the vision? Do you want the vision to know what works God will reveal in you if you will just have the eyes to see? Let us pray that we capture new vision for our lives and then for the life of our church. May we pray? Gracious Father, in a world such as ours, we desperately need vision. We need vision individually to face the trial and the challenges and the temptations of this life, to know that regardless of what comes our way, we are called to a higher purpose, that the works of you as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit should be revealed in us. And then as a church, we can capture a vision for what you want to do with us collectively, as a group, as a family, to make a difference in our world. May we have a passion for this kind of vision. Because if we can't envision the possibility, how will we ever reach the goal? Pour out your blessings upon us as we seek that vision for ourselves and for our church. In the name of Jesus, amen.